Today I'm chatting with James Powell, co-author of the book Intuitive Living and host of the Spirituality Podcast. By implementing his unleashed intuition, James became number one for sales nationally for the second largest UK company in its industry within just 6 weeks and broke all but one sales record in its history. By leveraging unleashed intuition in his 20s, James established a business and was soon after reached out to by Hilton, who entrusted him to lead the marketing of a 1 million euro launch. By accessing specific and actionable intelligence using his unleashed intuition, James founded the Spirituality Podcast, where he now interviews some of the world's highest achieving entrepreneurs, including a multi-billion dollar business consultant, a financial advisor to two US presidents, a corporate trainer to the world's leading companies, a serial Inc. 500 entrepreneur, the first woman to ever create an iPhone app, TV personalities, media celebrities, and many others. At high demand, James has created his signature program, Intuition Hacks, helping entrepreneurs make their most successful decisions in both life and business by using the number one strategy of the world's highest achievers and top performers, without relying on data and analytics, numbers or metrics, and by properly unleashing the limitless but untapped potential of their mind's natural intuition. Welcome, James, and thank you for being so generous with your time and energy with us today.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So my journey with intuition started when I was around 2 years old from my earliest memory, but most significantly when I was 10, and my parents were divorcing at that time, and they took me to and my siblings to child counseling to help us go through the process. And after my siblings were considered not they didn't need to go anymore. They continued taking me because I was a bit different. And during one session, there were my parents in the room opposite, sitting at a table opposite two child psychologists. And they were trying to get me to come into the room. They were talking to me, come in, James, come in, come in, come in. And I was refusing to come in the room. I was standing by the entrance in the doorway. I took one step in just to satisfy them, right? but I refused to come in anymore. And I was staring at this mirror on the left wall. I had no reason to stare at it or feel anything from it, but I was staring at it and I was feeling like I was being deceived and that I was being watched. And then several minutes later, one of the child psychologists walked over to me, put his hand on my shoulder and said, James, do you want to see what's behind the mirror? And I silently nodded. Then he walked me out of the corridor into the next room and they turned the lights on. It was darkened, but they turned the lights on. And there was a third psychologist, a lady with a clipboard and a pen taking notes. And there were two men operating VHS cassette camcorders on tall tripods, filming the session through the mirror, which I could now see was a one-way mirror. And they were filming the session in the room where they wanted me to go in, right? Well, now, obviously, I gave them some good material, but, you know, that just confirmed to me that my intuition is something that I can rely on. It's accurate and reliable. And, like, why did that psychologist decide to show me behind the mirror? That was, you know, that's weird, right? And that had a huge impact on my life, you know, since that age. And I realized also my parents couldn't properly guide me or raise me because they wouldn't be taking me there to try to understand me better if they were able to. So I decided then to not speak to my parents for however long it took, for several years until I moved out. And, you know, basic conversation, yeah, but not any really deep stuff was going on with me. And I decided to go more internal and explore more of that intuition. Yeah,
that's a really interesting story. I think a lot of us, we have experiences like this early in our lives, maybe in childhood, and we like discount that saying it's just childish, it's just happenstance, or, you know, it doesn't mean anything. But few of us really have taken that into, you know, reflected on it and said, this was a profound experience. Let me explore this a bit more. And then later in our lives, went even deeper into it. I've had spiritual experiences very early in my life, which stuck with me. And I decided to pursue that later in my life, which actually helped me to stay on the right path and guided me onto the path I'm now. So that's really interesting that your journey started so early in life. So I've also had quite a few profound experiences with intuition. Some of them in my business, some of them in my personal life. feelings of, you know, you should do this, you shouldn't do that, but not based on fact, just you feeling, like we say in our gut, you have this gut feeling saying you, this is the direction you should go into. So this is kind of what I wanted to touch on and discuss today, how we can really connect more deeply with that feeling, you know, base our business decisions on this and our personal decisions, and make choices and pivots and shifts in our business faster using this guidance, instead of waiting for facts and waiting for proof, which could actually slow down your progress and maybe even miss opportunities because you discounted that gut feeling or intuition. So we did chat previously about this being based on science and also backed by the Bible. Firstly, would you explain in brief the science behind the concept of intuition?
Sure. So the gut instinct that you mentioned right now, and it's appropriate that people call it gut instinct because there's a three-step system, and the gut instinct is usually about action, about do this or don't do it, like you correctly described. It's the final step in the process, but there's two earlier steps in the process. There's intuition, intellect, and then instinct. Okay, so these are three distinct stages of that process of intuition that also includes intellect and instinct. And this is one of the there's a major ambiguity in understanding intuition, that people mix those definitions as though they're the same thing, and there's not a lot of clarity on that. So I'd like to provide a very clear description of what that stage is, the flow of intuition. So as you mentioned, backed by the Bible, backed by science, it starts in the heart. And I believe there's references or passages in the Bible that specifically mention intuition in relation to the heart as well. Like you mentioned one, what was that passage that you mentioned earlier when we had that conversation?
There's several that I found, one being Job 38 verse 36 says, "Who gives intuition to the heart and instinct to the mind?" So both of those, I think, you know, it comes from God. It's not based on our own wisdom or own experiences, because we can't always prove, like, I'm just feeling this is where I want to go. That's something I hear often. We instinctively feel a decision we have to make, but we can't say why we feel that way. So yeah, that's basically the gist of it.
Yeah, that's another thing as well. Intuition and emotion are also different. They're not same. So intuition and the heart, like we just mentioned from the Bible, it's 100% correct. Starts in the heart. And that's what science demonstrates as well through research, that every organ in the body produces its own electromagnetic field. The brain produces one. That's why we can measure the brain waves using electroscintigraph machine, right? Every organ has one, every cell has one, the heart has one. The heart has the largest and strongest magnetic field of all of the organs in the body. It's many thousands times stronger than the one in the brain, the one generated by the brain. And in terms of the amount of electrical information sent via the nerves from the brain to the heart sends more information to the brain than the brain sends to the heart. So not only is the heart the central organ in terms of the amount of energy produced, and the size and shape and strength of the magnetic field that's produced, it also is primary in terms of the information that's transmitted between it and the other organs. And that's really, like, that's why God looks at the heart first. So he only looks at the heart, because that's the predominant organ, right? And it's like what makes us essentially human is the heart. So that's where we get the intuition with God. And in the experiments that have been shown, the heart responds to images before they're shown, right? When the test subject is exposed to positive images, negative images on a computer screen, and the heart will respond to those images before they're shown in terms of the coherence or incoherence of the electromagnetic field that's produced by the heart. That information then goes to the brain, where we have our intellect, our rational thought, and we recognize and rationalize about what the heart has perceived, and that information is sent to the intellect from the heart. And that's usually in time with when the image is shown rather than before. And then that information that's being processed by our brain goes to the gut instinct in the gut, where we also have neurons, because here's the thing, we also have neurons in the heart, we have neurons in the brain, we have neurons in the gut, exactly the same neurons. Okay, so what people typically think of as a brain, we actually got a three-brain system. Well, it's our consciousness actually is processed by those three steps, right, where those predominant collections of nerves are, the brain, heart, no, the heart, brain, and gut. And then when the information has finally reached the gut, that's where it's put into action. That's where you get that gut response So that's what people are typically mostly used to in terms of intuition. It's actually the instinct and the gut feeling about related to action. But if you can activate and use those two prior steps, you can then get specific and detailed actionable intelligence before you get that gut response to put something into action without really knowing what you're doing or what the outcome can be. You can actually process it first and then put that specific information into action using your gut. So, you know, that's what I teach, is how to actually get that specific and detailed actionable intelligence using your intuition, process it with your intellect, and then put it into action.
Yeah, the other verses that I wanted to touch on here to illustrate that, you know, the concept of intuition that we are discussing here is backed by a biblical truth. I do feel like this is something that could be really powerful for us to use as Christian and Christian business owners. The other two verses were John 16, verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And John 14, verse 26 says, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So, for followers of Christ, human intuition and the Holy Spirit are more similar than we might realize, or at least more connected. Just as every person is born with intuition, every individual who is born again is given the Holy Spirit as part of his new birth. And because the Holy Spirit is one with God, the Father, and Christ, the Son, he knows the deep ways and thoughts of God. Like you said, I think when we chatted before, God is outside time and matter and space. And that is almost where the realm of intuition operates. This is how he can give us guidance ahead of time and outside of anything that makes sense, because he's outside of everything. So he is operating on that level.
100%. I'd like to refer to this. It's not a biblical concept or anything, and it's not something I expect people to adopt. It's just the way I understand it. That God is, I refer to God as an original being, and there's nothing before God, right? And so that's the original starting point and the origin of everything. And when we use intuition is actually a sense. So it's a sense that we use to communicate and have a relationship with, for example, God. And that we have our mind, we have our earthly mind, but we also have like our spirit or soul, which is higher than that. And that's where we connect to God as well. And we connect to God through intuition with our spirit and be able to experience God in that way. And obviously mediated by angels too, because they're servants and the messengers, and they help to bring truth to us from God. And, you know, that's really part of this process of accessing actionable intelligence. It's about connecting to God, to use your intuition, your sense of intuition, with your spirit to connect God, to receive that. And that's actually how I started my podcast, the Spirituality Podcast, because when I finished a previous project, I literally closed my laptop, stood up, and asked God, like, this is literally like within seconds, right? Stood up, okay, what do you want me to do next? And then immediately in mind, Spirituality Podcast, one episode per week, explore spirituality and self-development with high-achieving entrepreneurs. All right, that's extremely specific, right? So I looked online, the domain was available, the website address, right? thespiritualitypodcast.com, I got that. So that's amazing, because now I'm category king, right? The Spirituality Podcast, right? It's not like James Powell's podcast, it's actually the one. You know, it's I'm very surprised no one thought of that before, right? And there's like spiritual this, spiritual that, but yeah, this is really amazing. So I got my posting frequency and I got my guest list as well. And from that, my audience. So I didn't need to think about anything. I didn't need to brainstorm or try to work it out, pro con list, what are my options? What can I do? What do I want to do? And kind of, you know, bring it down from like 10 things to 2 to 1, whatever. I used my intuition. I got the answer straight away. I started to implement it just by inviting people on my podcast to have a conversation. I've interviewed some of the highest achieving entrepreneurs in the world now, and it's like I literally put no effort in to make it happen, apart from just invite people. This is the easiest thing.
Yeah, I was actually a little bit shocked when I saw the guest list. I checked out your website. How did you get this? So many very well-known guests and industry experts, it's quite an achievement. And like you said, you know, God guided you to invite these specific people.
Yeah, and one of the cool things is I'm still pre-launch. I now have a team. I've outsourced the editing of my content ready for launch. It's really going to be amazing. But I'm still pre-launch, and I've spoken to people who've been in the podcast game for 10 years, and they said they've been unable to get these guests themselves. And they're like, how can you do that? And for me, I ask God a question. What do you want me to do next? I got the answer because I developed my intuition enough to be able to understand what I'm receiving. And then I just put it into action. And that's it.
Yeah, that's really amazing. You know, I believe when you're really following the path that God wants to guide you on, things will flow much better. When you are going against the flow, or going against what God wants to guide you to, that's when it's struggle and hustle and grind. That's when it feels like a lot of work and stress. It's much more, you know, He supplies perfect peace beyond understanding. I believe that with all my heart, like the Bible says, I will give you peace beyond understanding. And that's been my experience. When I follow where I feel like that, you know, what I call the still small voice is like your intuition. It's God speaking to me in some way, where they're just putting ideas in my head, saying this is where you want to go, or like confirming things for me. It flows much easier. Things just happen more easily. It's not all hustle and grind and hard work. And I think that that is a big benefit of accessing and living in line with your intuition. Things flow much easier. Don't feel like you have to push constantly and fight and work incredibly hard. Business doesn't need to be a struggle constantly. I feel like God can open so many doors for you that you don't even expect if you just follow His guidance.
Yeah, I agree. With the word constantly, it doesn't constantly have to be a struggle. It definitely does require hard work. And then also, especially if you have high goals regarding geography, geographical area of impact, or how many people that you're going to be impacting. Usually your goal or the challenge that you face in life and business is in proportion to the path that you're on, the purpose that you want to achieve. If it's larger, then the challenge you're going to face is going to be much more difficult. And there's things that God puts in our way for us to overcome for multiple reasons, for us to become the right type of person to fulfill that mission, as a condition to be able to be the person to do that. You know, that we need to be qualified to do those things in God's eyes. And yeah, that's why challenges crop up from time to time.
Yeah, absolutely. Like He says, He qualifies the called. He will call you, but then He qualifies you. But I feel like part of that qualification happens on the journey. You know, when you get there, you will be the right person. But in the journey, He makes you the right person through lessons, you know, challenging you. You have to make hard decisions. You have to give up things that aren't in line with your calling, that doesn't fit with the person that you need to become to step into that. So, yeah, thank you for adding that as well, because I think, yes, it's not always a struggle, but I think a lot of people feel like if they hit one roadblock, then it's a sign it's not for them. That's not how life works, you know. Sometimes He will put stuff in your path for a reason, you know, to make you a better person, to teach you a lesson, to make you into the person that would fulfill the calling that he calls you to. So, you know, yes, it's not always a struggle, but there will come things on your path that is difficult, you know. As a Christian, we're not called to only have pleasure and love and fulfillment. It's not all of that. It's also that we have to each have to carry our own cross, you know, to the finish line. Regarding how to access your intuition more often, or for those of us who maybe struggle sometimes to really hear that still small voice, or feel like there's just silence, or the opposite of silence, too much noise, how would you guide them to being more in touch with the intuition and drowning out everything else that they feel like is influencing them, and they're like, oh, what is my intuition and what is outside influence pulling me on a different direction?
Okay, there's two things I could mention, one which I go into in detail on my website, but regarding your question with the detail you just included, I think more relevant, and which I haven't shared on a podcast before, is to explain what I did in terms of meditative prayer. And they're distinct. Meditation is with mind and body, is bringing our mind and body into harmony. Prayer is harmonized mind and body having a conversational relationship with God. So in essence, you can understand meditation as a horizontal practice. This within ourselves, where vertical would be prayer. So that would be between ourselves and God. So the meditation and prayer that I went through after leaving home at age 14. So I had a spiritual experience with Jesus when I was 14, where I challenged him to prove to me he exists or not, because it was questionable to me at that time. And he proved to me beyond any shadow of a doubt that he does. And so then I left home to explore more of that. And I prayed, I meditated a lot. I studied a lot as well, because intellect and intuition need to be in harmony. They need to be balanced. So I study as much or more than I have spiritual experience or intuitive experiences. And that's the way I find it, a good way to keep them in balance. And the meditation I did kind of resembles the old style meditative monks who pray a lot throughout the day. I studied Eastern and Western styles, and there were scientific experiments conducted on meditating monks who were high mountains in the Himalayas, and they were meditating on the edge of an ice lake. And so this is a more form of meditation, since they were Buddhists, right? And then the body vitals were not affected by the cold. They just had a thin sheet covering their body, meditating peacefully next to a frozen lake. And the Western experimenters are measuring their brainwaves and their body's vitals. They had these thick winter jackets on and survival gear, hats, gloves, scarves, coats and everything, boots, and they were still shivering. And yet this dude was almost naked and he was totally fine. they measured the brainwaves. So I was studying that and I was practicing it. Not without the technology, I didn't have the technology to measure my brainwaves, but you can get that now. It's biofeedback resonance imaging person, software you can buy online. But I did it based on the description of what the monks described that it felt like to do that. And just with a lot of trial and error over a long time, just doing that, I learned how to achieve the same results that they were describing. And even myself, I would meditate out in the winter and I would do some things I probably shouldn't say on a podcast, but there are things that the body can do a lot more than we think it can. And we're taught that those limitations are actually far more expanded than we realize. And I've done things that would have caused me to lose parts of my body, like my hand, for example, or to at least get permanent scarring the rest of my life and nerve damage, but I'm totally fine. It didn't affect me. And I did that once by myself, and also then in front of my father a second time. So I felt it was important to do it for someone else for integrity. Like, I think a samurai, when they do a specific skill, like swordsmanship, they need to do it twice in order to consider that they've actually done it. Yeah. And so deep meditation and prayer for a long time, essentially it's very simple. The first step is to sit in a comfortable position. I used to sit on a stool, sit with your back upright and your chin slightly tucked in it a little bit, not so that your chin is upwards, because that's more like kind of an active thing. And then hands on your knees, close your eyes and just stay awake for as long as you can. That's it, right? That's the part of the purpose of sitting upright, is to help keep yourself alert and awake while your eyes are closed for a long period of time. And the body struggles with that, first of all. It doesn't want to do it because now you're using new muscles and it's quite a struggle. And then also smile a bit, because then when you're smiling, you're releasing happy chemicals that are released into the body and training the body then to enjoy that process. And the body then starts to really, really enjoy it. And it becomes a lot easier. You can do it then indefinitely. I used to meditate up to 11 and a half hours per day. And I did this while I was fasting on rice and water. It's another monk practice of fasting. For 6 months, and I only ate rice and drank water for 6 months while meditating on average about 7 or 8 hours per day. But my maximum that I counted was 11 and a half in one sitting. And there was a lot of preparation before that. But in experiencing that, I experienced so many beautiful things. You're talking about transforming your environment, to tuning out of sounds and distractions. And my environment would completely become different. It would just become a beautiful, peaceful environment. And I used to train by listening to heavy, loud music. Not this peaceful, quiet place with a candle and this nice like chime, whatever. I used to put on loud music and I would pray and meditate until I could no longer hear the music. And I would just be sitting in this beautiful essentially room filled with light. And it was the most peaceful place, like you described, that God exists outside of space-time. When I was in this realm, it was as though time stopped. And I had no concept of self. I had no concept that I was breathing or any concept of time passing by. And when I exited that and I returned back to my physical awareness, the first breath I took, every time it happened, it was always like the first breath I'd ever experienced in my life. And it was filled with so much joy. It was the most beautiful experience ever. You know, that essentially just came from how long can I sit still and awake and alert for when I close my eyes and just push that as far as I can. And yeah, it's incredible what can be experienced from there.
Oh, that's beautiful. So how often do you think people can start something like that? Logically, all of us have very busy lives, but I feel like we get done what is important to us. If you schedule something, if it's really a priority. So how would you recommend someone start with incorporating that somewhere, maybe just once a week and then do it more often, or take like a sabbatical for a weekend? Go away by yourself somewhere where the family isn't on top of you all the time and people are demanding of your time. So can you give us a suggestion of something practical that people can start with, like in the middle of the week or in the weekend?
100%, yeah. So it really depends, you know, especially if you now have a family, like you mentioned, and responsibilities and things that need to be done, then it should fit into that. So it could be a shorter duration, more frequently, if it's possible to take a longer sabbatical, like a couple of days on a weekend or a week, then that by doing this a lot condensed within a shorter period of time, then that would have a significant impact on the long-term benefits, because you're like cramming a lot into that time, right? Can have a shift happen in a person's life. And then what's really useful to consider are your natural biorhythms. This would really determine when or how frequently that you practice your meditation or prayer. We have a circadian rhythm, we have sleep-wake cycle, and we have other different processes in the body that are important to consider when we practice our prayer meditation. And it's actually quite surprising how many sports teams consider the biological rhythms of their team players on choosing who goes on the field or in the court and who doesn't. So they will put the players whose biorhythms are complementary to high levels of performance on the field rather than keep them off, right? And they will keep those players off the field whose biorhythms don't coincide with the peak performance when they're having a match or playing a tournament. So, you know, everybody has those cycles, and there are services online that you can use to understand that, you know, whether you can identify your own and when you're peaking and when it's not. I did my meditation and prayer in my late teens and early 20s when I didn't have a lot of responsibilities, or intentionally also didn't have a lot of responsibilities, because this was my primary focus, and anything else I just kept at a minimum. So I didn't have family, didn't have a job basically. And, you know, so I basically could spend like 90% of my time doing this. And therefore I didn't just do a lot for a short period of time, but I did a lot for a long period of time. That really, you know, it's so beautiful to experience these things. So in terms of getting I feel it's important to have an experience first. And even if it's an hour or 2 hours, just dedicate that time, 100% commitment, without trying to force it to happen. That's not what I mean by commitment, but asking God, inviting the presence of God to be with you, and asking God to guide you, whether it's directly or through the angels, you know, to assist us in building that atmosphere of love around us. You can imagine like that you're filled with golden light and the warmth of God's love that is filling you up, and you're a radiant being, filled with light and expressing light to everything and everyone around you, even in the entire world. And one of the visualizations I used to imagine when I was praying was that I was like a bucket being filled up with love, and it was like water, and my body was gradually getting filled up with this gold colored water, and then up to the top of my head, and then I felt that this was overflowing, and I had this irrepressible impulse to start talking to people and I want to give this love to you, which was really weird for me because I'm an introvert. And especially that time, I was completely recluse, like, you know, just on my own doing this thing. There was like one or two friends that I used to spend some time with, but this is like, was a really weird experience for me. I just couldn't control it. I just wanted to go out and love people, just like to share the love. And you can do that, even if it's 20 minutes a day in the evening, you know, when you have a moment to relax and invite the love of God to be with you. Imagine yourself getting filled up with the warmth of God's love. And that, you know, if you want to imagine it coming down on you like a warm rain, you know, like when you go outside and there's this, it's in the summer, but you have this gentle rain that's coming down softly and it's really warm and it just feels beautiful. It feels like that's what it feels like. It's beautiful.
From my perspective, I've never really taken like extensive periods of time to practice this intently. But with my experience over the years, I do feel like when you are more intentional in meditative prayer and being connected to your intuition, you become more like sensitive to outside noise and interference and like irritants and stimulants. Those like really simple things like the TV playing too loud, kids screaming in the car, or aggressive music can start to aggravate you very quickly. And I started to audit my environment based on that. And the more I changed my environment to be more peaceful and, you know, cancel out those things or try and control my environment and control the, you know, how I structure my day so that it is more peaceful, that had a knock-on effect on my intuition and my, can I say, my connection with God. I felt more peaceful. I felt more connected with Him. I felt like literally His presence. Like I had one moment in the car where I was praying. We were on our way somewhere and I was just praying. Like I used to do this, just randomly praying about stuff and listening to gospel music. And I literally saw His face, like right before me. And I just cried, like randomly. So you have like these random experiences when you are intentionally connected with Him, like you want that. And the way I started was praying, asking Him every morning, give me this connection. Drown out all the outside noise, help me cancel out all the bad interference and bad influences in my life, and changed me to the type of person who would be constantly connected with Him. And, you know, I started telling my husband, you know, this bothers me, that bothers me. Let's be more peaceful in the house. Let's not listen to this music. I bought different music for us to play in the car. So you start to feel like He kind of gives you signs. Your body starts reacting to things that are like irritants to your spirit. So then if you start auditing your environment to match the state that you want to be in, the optimal state for that intuition, the intuitive living, then you, that's like a knock-on effect. So it's like a cycle you go through. It's not all at once. Now you're like intuitively living and you are constantly connected to God. It's a process that you have to be intentional. You have to intentionally choose it every single morning and ask God to help you live more in line with that. So that's been my experience.
Yeah, I completely agree. And this thing about intention is really about purpose, because God is a purposeful being. God created the universe with purpose. God created each of us with purpose. So when we do things with a purpose, especially if it aligns with the purpose that God has for us, then 100% God's going to be there with us and help us along the way and even challenge us to accomplish it.
Yeah, I love that. Those are the three themes that I chose for this podcast, because those are the three keys to living a fulfilled business and building a kingdom business. It's really purpose, passion, and profit. If we focus on purpose, then God is going to show us and help us feel more passionate about the work we do. And then, you know, from that, if we make a bigger impact, He can help us make a profit. But the profit isn't just for us to live with. The bigger impact you make, the bigger your profit can be. And with that, you can make a bigger impact. You know, He gives us fruit to sustain other people as well. So I feel like that will also help us feel more purposeful in our lives and be more passionate. So they all influence each other, those three elements.
Yeah, I love that. Purpose and passion comes from desire, like the desire to fulfill a purpose, for example, That seems to be where purpose should be rooted, rather than someone choosing a purpose and not really knowing why they do it. But you know, it's the same that you were talking about when you were praying and you have had this desire to connect to God and to experience God's love and God's heart. You know, that's like a child crying out for his mother's milk. You know, it's that desperate,
yes,
that level
yes.
of desperation or desire that each of us should have when we connect to God. And when we have that level of desire, the same like a child, the only thing it wants is to, you know, suckle to his mother's breast and have the milk. And you know, we should be like that with God. And that's the way in fulfilling our purpose, having that passion from, you know, that stems from that desire. And then the profit, definitely I see money as an expression of love, because it's a way that we can serve and help others. And the way that it multiplies in terms of you know, investing in it in the right way with the right people, the right opportunities, it can multiply it, right? So when we give love selflessly, then love will multiply as well. When we try to hold on to it, it doesn't go anywhere. So the same like money, like we're talking about the cash flow, right? It needs to be in motion, give it out. That's why, for example, Warren Buffett and other successful investors, their profit increases exponentially after they start giving money away to charities. If you see the curve of his growth trajectory, it exploded after he started giving his money to charity. Before that, it was growing, but it was just slow. And that's because it's an expression of love that God gave us to be able to help and serve humanity and build the ideal environment.
Yeah, like the parable of the seeds, you know, are you going to eat the seeds or are you going to plant it and then reap the profit or reap the fruit or, you know, the crops later? You know, he doesn't give us enough seed as in, this is your seed, you have to you have to consume the seed today. He gives us the seed to plant to get more tomorrow. So whatever he gives you today, you can use to make more over time. You know, that's why he says he gives you enough for each day. Not literally what you get today, you must use today. You know, you have to invest so that you eventually can, you know, you can reap more over time and that can grow. But you have to be a good steward with that seed first. If anyone wants or needs support further with intuitive living or feels like there's a significant gap that they can't cross with, you know, implementing this practice, and they really want to transform the way of living by implementing intuitive living and maybe meditative practices, is there a way that they can work with you, or is there a program that you are working on right now to provide that support?
Yes, there's my signature program, which I've created due to high demand. I've been asked so many times, like, how I do what I do. And this program embodies that. It gives 7 main hacks. I call them intuition hacks, for people to be able to leverage their intuition, one of which doesn't require you to train or develop your intuition. You can actually get intuitive insights without your intuition involved, which is pretty awesome. So, it is involved, but it's minimally involved. So it's like maximum result, least amount of effort. So that's the first one I teach. And then there are other ones that help to develop the intuition so that you don't need to do a set of steps. Like the hack I mentioned requires you to do a set of steps and actions to acquire that result. I also teach how to develop the intuition itself so that you can achieve results with intuition without actually having to do those steps. And that is more of a natural process. And then also being able to not only get vague intuitive hunches or feelings, but specific information, like I mentioned about my podcast. And then I just implemented rather than just trying to figure things out. So that you can find that at intuitionhacks.com/unlock, my website. And on there, after you sign up, I've got a great video on the homepage where I've got clips of world achieving high achieving entrepreneurs saying in their own words, some of you know, you already know all of them anyway, so when you watch a video, it's not going to be a surprise to you who they are, but what they say is incredible. They all say they made the most successful decisions in life and business with intuition every single time. And when you sign up, there's free training immediately, so you can get started implementing intuition hacks as soon as you sign up. And then there's the opportunity to work with me. And right now I'm still pre-launch with my program. I've opened it up now because people want it. So I've opened it up early, even though my curriculum is not complete yet. There are hacks available, but as a compensation, as expression of gratitude for people who sign up early pre-launch, I'm giving a free VIP ticket to everybody who signs up so that they can attend one of my upcoming masterminds, where I'm bringing in high achievers to spend time with the attendees so that they can ask questions directly to and learn from some of the world's highest achieving entrepreneurs, for example, including guests from my podcast, like you mentioned, so some of the world's highest achieving entrepreneurs. And that's amazing, because just a single conversation with a wise person or experienced person is better than 10 years of study. You know, it's so impactful, right? So I want to give people that opportunity, and especially if they're supporting Intuition Hacks by signing up early, I'm just going to throw that in. And that's my high-end back-end offer. So, but that's going to be a complimentary gift that I give to anyone who signs up pre-launch. And it's not going to be pre-launch for much longer.
That's really generous. I think that's incredibly valuable. From my experience as well, you know, book knowledge and courses can only take you this far. And from my experience, one-on-one time with experts and mentors, that's far more valuable, because they have life experience that you will never find in a book, and insight, and they can help you apply that insight so that it's unique to your business. You actually understand what to do with it. It's not just words on a page. It's living knowledge, you know, it's living wisdom that, you know, God puts these people in our lives for a reason. And he has given them these experiences to share with us. So if he's guided these people and given them the inspiration to share this with us, then that's one door that he's opening. You know, as we pray to God to open doors for us, this is one of such doors that we could open if we choose.
Yeah, no, I welcome anyone who wants to do this, especially... I love Christian entrepreneurs. I think they're amazing, because they're purpose-centered, and I really love working with purpose-centered people.
I love that. Thank you so much for your time. Very generous. Yeah, it's a lot to unpack and journal about, and I invite everyone to send me questions. If you want to ask James anything, if you have any further questions or you want to learn more about his program, feel free to contact me. I will forward his details. His website link will also be in the description of this podcast episode. So I invite all of your comments. Subscribe to hear more on purpose, passion, and profit in line with the Kingdom Business.